You are listening to 2300 Wrestling Podcast with DB Richards and Sweet Tea referee Dave Keener on Anchor FM, Spotify, and other leading platforms.
Hello, this is DB Richards from the 2300 Wrestling Podcast, and this season is dedicated to Bill Pollarino. Rest in peace, my friend.
Welcome, everybody, to the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, DB Richards, alongside my Sweet Tea referee, Dave Keener.
Hey, Dave. What the hell are you wearing?
I'm wearing my Ghostbusters pajamas.
But it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, everybody likes to be a Ghostbuster once in a while.
Still.
But you don't like my Ghostbusters?
It's not at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You don't come into the studio still in your pajamas.
I do. Lucky I didn't bring my flip-flops.
I mean, it's snowing outside. You wore flip-flops the other day and shorts in the snow.
Yeah, but wasn't that cold out? Today's cold.
Still snowing.
It's not snowing now.
It was the other day when you had flip-flops on.
Hey, don't mess with my flip-flops. I am the flip-flop crew here.
I mean, not only that, but I gotta drink this Mountain Dew. There's no sweet tea here. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, I do enjoy a Spago, but that's still a different story.
Dude, I'm not here to bring you drinks.
Well, then how can I be the sweet tea if I don't have any sweet tea?
It's not my fault Wawa doesn't have shit.
I know. My God.
At least they're bringing back stuff. I just saw raspberry iced tea the other day. Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh.
At least it's not a sheet.
Ugh. You're talking about sheets now.
Hey, do me a favor. I want you to say hi to our guest.
Hi, guest. Who do we have?
What's up?
Ring announcer, all around jack of all trades in wrestling, JD Davis.
There you go. I need to teach him how to do things right. So what's going on, man. My friend?
Nothing, guys. I just looking forward to chilling with you. Had a show last night. Still recovering from that. And,
See, you had a show last night.
Yeah.
Goddamn snow.
Yeah. We escaped it. I'm up in Binghamton, New York.
Okay.
Oh, I got a friend who lives up in Binghamton, New York.
Yeah, my show was down in Scranton, so we escaped the bad weather for the most part.
I got a wrestling buddy of mine who lives in Binghamton.
Oh, who's that?
He's going to say Sean Carr.
No.
No?
I'm going to say AJ Pan.
Oh.
Yeah, AJ Pan lives up there.
Does he?
Yep, AJ. Yeah. I know Sean Carr, too.
AJ lives up there. Sean, Mike Law, Az, yep. They're all up there.
Yep, yeah, they are.
Did you see the deathmatch Mike Law did?
Oh God.
The most recent?
Yes.
Yeah, that was cool.
I was there, and I went in the back and talked to Mike. I'm like, are you freaking nuts? He's like, oh, you want to try it just once?
Yeah, he's crazy.
I'm like, really, Mike?
He is the chairman now.
Right, and I was talking to Az about it, and Az was like, yeah, that was fucked up, dude.
Yeah. He's a good dude.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're all friends of mine. They're all great people.
Yeah, I like them too.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something. He's like the kid in the candy shop when he's at wrestling shows. He puts up his phone. He's looking. I need details. No, I'm just messing with you. So let's get started. Let's have some fun. Let's find your, what do you want to say, your history. Let's start from the beginning.
How did you get started?
Yes.
So, let's see, going on 5 years ago, I guess, I hit up a guy I knew that worked in the business and asked if I could be part of it. That would be Keith Zimmer. I said, hey, can I show up and help out? And he's like, yeah, you can carry ring boards. I'm like, cool. So I was carrying ring boards, and I got there really early, and the commentator came, and we were just, talking outside, and he goes, oh, shit, my color commentator just bailed. Do you know anybody that can do commentary? I'm like, I went to school for sports broadcasting. I worked for NASCAR, minor league hockey, college sports. I think I could do it. And the rest is history, I guess. Wow. So did the commentary thing for a while, then been doing the managing going on 3 or 4 years now.
So you were literally the guy sitting there in the booth for NASCAR, went, look, they're making another left turn.
Yeah, it's pretty much it. Like, it's so... Plus, I did it mainly at Watkins Glen, a road course.
Yeah.
So you literally can only see like a quarter mile section.
Okay.
So you're relying on monitors, and it's I had fun doing it, but it's not the best course to do it at.
Yeah. Man, commentating. That's something that I'm learning, but I'm the sarcastic one.
That's been my passion since I was about 12.
Okay.
I got into acting at 12 years old and been working on that stuff at a young age. Always wanted to do commentating and did some stuff. Pro stand-up comedy for some years, so I just like, I'm a ham. I like to have the mic. I like to have everybody's attention. And it's been a wild ride, and I don't intend on stopping anytime soon.
So you had mentioned comedy. Have you seen any Azrael stuff?
I haven't been on the comedy. Yeah, I haven't been on the comedy scene probably since 2014.
And Corey.
Corey Castle.
Corey Castle also did comedy for a little bit.
Yeah, that name sounds familiar. I opened up. I used to do a lot in the city with Gotham Comedy Club and Caroline. I opened for like Jim Gaffigan, TJ Miller, those guys. This was some time ago, but I always like to throw it on my resume.
It's kind of sounds like some Mark out moment.
Are you trying to say that he had a geek out moment?
Yes, I did have a geek out moment hearing that. Yeah. But we're not going to go right into that
yet. No, we won't do that yet.
That's like near the end of things. So you said you did a little bit of acting. Did you do any movies or anything like that?
No, I mean, I've done some independent films, nothing of notoriety. A lot of stage acting and things like that, local theater. So nothing too crazy, as far as the acting goes. But I kind of consider, wrestling's acting in my role.
Yeah, it is.
Because I do commentating and managing, and, I'll get bumped here and there, too. But, you know, it's acting.
always.
What I would explain to people when they ask me, well, why do you do professional wrestling? What's it like? I'm like, it's pretty much glorified stunt work.
Yeah.
And people are like, yeah, I can see that. I go, okay.
Yeah.
You want to try it? No.
Right. Yeah. I mean, even the few bumps, I probably get bumped a couple times a show.
Okay.
But it's nothing compared to the wrestler. And like,
right.
Even the few bumps I take at 37 years old, I feel it the next day. You know, last night I took a bump from the apron onto the floor and a 250 pound guy fell right on top of me.
Oh,
you know, at 37, that kind of sucks.
Wow. Never mind. I had a movie reference.
Go ahead, say it.
He said 37 and sucked in the same sentence.
Okay.
You ever see Clerks?
Oh, yes.
God.
You need help. Oh, gosh. See, this is what I have to deal with all the time.
I feel bad. I feel bad for you.
I know. Gosh.
I'm sorry. I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan.
Yeah, he's a huge fan. Yep. Took him up to Red Bank, and he was like, oh, my gosh.
I got their autographs and everything.
Yeah, he got all his autographs, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So what's the best advice anybody's ever given you?
Don't be 12.
All right, Corey.
I've been so lucky to be around some people that know what the hell they're doing. I think the best advice is always stay humble. You know, my character is a cocky, arrogant piece of crap.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not me, you know, in real life. So it's always stay humble because, you know, all of us, you know, as much as you grow, like, I think I'm in, like, 13, 14 companies now. And I'm on Fight TV at least a couple times a month and all that stuff. But as big as I think that is for me, in the grand scheme of pro wrestling, I'm still a nobody. And I'm still on a tiny little speck of the map compared to what the possibilities are. And the second I forget that, I'm going to fail. So staying humble, I think, is the best advice I've ever been given.
I think, do you know who John Dornbos is, DB?
I don't know. Who?
So John Dornbos.
Okay, who's that?
John Dornbos is a former Philadelphia Eagle. He was a line snapper.
Okay.
Was also on America's Got Talent.
Okay. Oh, the
magic guy. Yeah. He said that as much as we learn, there's always more that we can learn and to keep trying. So as much as we accomplish, there's so much more left to accomplish.
Yeah.
So keep going, keep moving, and keep learning.
We did have a fan came up to us, and we were there to watch the wrestling show, and we weren't doing anything. And he goes, can I get a picture of you? And I'm like, why? I just want to know why. You know what I mean? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why? He goes, you're famous. I'm like, nah, man.
We are?
You said we are. I was like, nah, man. I'm like you, dude. We're just people watching wrestling.
That's why I said we are. We're famous? What?
Yeah.
It's crazy because, you know, I started probably a year and a half, couple years ago when I started getting out there on like the Fight TV stuff, you know, people would come up and ask for my autograph. And at first I'm like, this is really weird. Now I just, you know, it's mainly kids and that's cool.
Yes.
It's surreal to do that, you know, but you're like, why?
Right. I mean, we go do shows and we hang out if I'm not repping on the show or doing something else. And we just hang out and people are like, oh, I know who you are.
You're the 2300 Wrestling Podcast.
I'm like, really? You know us? Like, yeah, I heard you.
Awesome. Yeah, it's funny. I was, it was like a few months ago. So my wife is a photographer in wrestling, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we were booked at two different places one night. So on my way back from my place, because my show got done earlier, I stopped at her show. It was about halfway through, and I was still in my gear because I just took off. And I walk in, and I sneak in. I'm like ready to pay for a ticket to the show I'm not booked on. I got my $10 out. And like, the security guard's like, oh my God, I didn't know you were coming. I was like, who are you? And he's like, you're JD. I'm like, yeah, you're right. He's like, no, just come on in, hang out. He goes, get in the back if you want. I'm like, this is weird. Like, people that, you know, like, people know you? Like, this is so odd. Like, people either, like, they're really big wrestling fans or just don't have lives if you know my name. Like, this is weird.
I mean, there's times where I've walked into shows and people go, oh, one of the Keeners are here. I'm like, okay, and?
Right.
And I usually just walk in, and I'm like, he's with me. And we just both walk in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not on the show. I'm just here to hang out. And then you got other people, other promoters who are just, I don't know who you are. Like, well, you don't want to be a dick about it.
The one that we went to, he didn't know who we were yet. And then we are introducing ourselves at the end of the show. And he goes, oh, you're the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I'm very sorry. I'm like, you're cool, man.
I'm like, you know who I am.
Yeah, it's fun, you know. And to go back real quick about that whole, you know, you always keep learning. I also, you know, feel like you gotta teach too. Like, pass on what you learn, don't hold it. You know,
right?
You know, that's the biggest, because people are like so scared about losing their spot, they don't want to give up info, and that's just a really dumb way to do it.
I got a story, but I'll tell you after we're off the air because I don't want to mention it.
Okay, yeah, makes sense. You don't want to mention anything. I'm ready. He's writing it down to me. Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I got you. I got you. I know this one. Yes, I know that one. That's a crazy story. We'll tell you afterwards.
But I'll tell you when we get off.
So right now, like, wrestling fans are being negative, and like, if you saw my post today talking about hate and all that stuff, I hate this, I hate that. So because of how wrestling is right now, and the fans are being negative, and you want to watch the wrestling. I hate Dave Meltzer. He's the only Dave I hate. So what's your opinion about the whole negativity in wrestling?
You're gonna probably be surprised by my answer, but there's a reason for it.
Okay.
I love it, and I'm gonna tell you why I love it. That means people are still passionate about this business.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they weren't passionate, they wouldn't care. And the fact that there's so much hate going on right now, and people are like, you know, we're in the prime, especially indie wrestling. I think indie wrestling is best it's ever been at this moment. And now you got the whole AEW Impact coming on strong, WWE, obviously. People are still so passionate about this business that's a work, let's be real. And everybody knows it's a work, but they still love it so much that strong opinions like that make me happy, because it's like, all right, this ain't going away for a long time. You know, are some people's opinions garbage? Yeah, of course they are. But, you know, so are the people usually. I don't mind it, honestly. I'm not a negative guy myself. I don't really give my opinion about the big companies, but, you know. That's just me.
I do love negativity. He knows that. I love.
Oh yeah.
But sometimes it gets to you. You know what I mean? It's the same thing over and over again. That's what I hate the most. Everybody says the same thing. Give me something else. You know what I mean? But
the only thing that bothers me about it is, that's fine if you want to hate on something, but don't act like you're an expert when you're just a fan or a nobody in the business.
Correct.
You know, if you were that smart, that intelligent, you'd be working for Tony Khan, or you'd be working for Vince McMahon.
Oh yeah.
You know, just don't be an expert. And that's one reason I never share my opinion, because I'm not an expert. You know, I'm not at that level. And and the other thing, a piece of advice that goes along with this, someone of that told me years ago, because I put a negative post out about it. I think it was WWE at the time. He was like, why would you bash a company you hope to work for one day?
Yeah.
And it's like, I look around this wrestling business and I see workers. You know, fans are one thing, but I see workers ripping on certain things AEW does or WWE does, and I'm like, you understand that's out there now. That's out there. So
correct. Even
if you get a chance at that level, if they see that, that could literally, the wrong person sees that, and you're done, you know? So you got to be smart once you're in the business.
That's true, and that's one of the things that we talk about, that we want wrestlers to come onto our show. We don't want to put the negativity out there, but if I feel that when I was a kid, back in like watching my mom die from cancer, and WWE and WCW and ECW was there for me. You know what I mean? I was watching it. I wasn't thinking about suicide. I was watching wrestling. My depression was so crazy at the time. I didn't know what I would have done if I didn't have my friends and my watching wrestling every week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we all have that connection. I mean, there was, you know, I got into wrestling when my, you know, I won't go into it, but I had a lot of bad stuff going on in my life.
Yeah.
And wrestling was my comfort. That was my getaway. That was my safe zone. And that's why I think people are negative, because that's, we got hooked so passionately because there's such an emotional attachment to what we are watching. And it's part of our lives. And we all have that connection for one reason or another. And I think that's important to recognize. And, you know, I hope that passion stays alive for years to come and wrestling keeps thriving as it is now.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I think social media totally destroyed it, too.
So I got to ask, because I've been a fan of this company that they were at last night.
Oh.
They were at Backbreakers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were Backbreakers. And a friend of ours was actually on the show last night.
Oh, who's their friend?
Johnny Moran.
Oh, I like Johnny Moran.
Oh, love Johnny. Love Johnny. Johnny. I worked with him a few places.
Yeah, so have I. I worked with him last Saturday.
Moran and Friends.
Yeah.
Listen, watch it, yeah. Do whatever you want.
Plug, plug, plug.
Plug, plug, plug.
Johnny Moran and Friends, good friends of ours. But no, great guy to work with. He brought his students, I guess they were. What were they? The tag team he was with.
Oh, his friends.
Yeah. What was the tag team called? I forgot.
Was it Seymour Green and Monsoon? Montoon, or I don't.
Mastodon,
that's
yeah,
it.
Them two.
Yeah, oops. Edit time.
Sorry. But no, Johnny Moran and Friends and everything he's got going on, he's a good guy, good thing. My question is, how was last night?
Oh, cold? Man, that crowd, it was cold as hell. But yeah, it sold out. I don't know if you saw it. It sold out 3 weeks
ago. Yeah.
And, like, you know how, like, promoters are like, we sold out, hitting from the rafters, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, this legit was sold out. Like, they would not sell tickets.
Wow.
So I think the draw, we had to be up to the 150 max.
Nice.
Which for that, I don't know if you've ever been to that venue, but that's about all it can put. Yeah, you're not getting more than that in there.
No, I mean, because the Hazleton area, that whole area, I do have a few friends up in that way. And coincidentally, you are friends with one of them, a good friend of mine, Matt Knowles.
Oh, yeah, Loke.
Mr. Loke.
Loke is one of my biggest mentors since the beginning. I would like to say we're pretty tight. I don't know if he would say the same, but I look up.
We've done a few things with Loke and his boys.
Loke is family.
Yeah. I've known Loke for a long time. I knew Loke back when they were doing the ECW stuff.
Oh, Carnage Crew, yeah.
Yeah. Baldi's Carnage.
Cream referee, and yeah.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, we did an interview with them last year, and we did an interview with Tony this year. So,
nice.
They're both out there.
Yeah, we had Matt at the latest Icons with us.
Yeah, him and Tommy Cairo, the only person I love the most to talk to.
And Cairo's up that way, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Loke is one of those guys, like I just said, shares the knowledge. And he's one of those where he doesn't just come out and tell you his opinion. If he sees something important, but he'll critique you, but in a positive way. You know what I mean? Like, some people are just going to shit on you and walk away. Where if Loke critiques you, he critiques you first, but then he never critiques you on something he can't give you advice to get better on. You know, he just always is teaching.
I have a Tony DeVito story for you real quick. So we brought Tony in for the Legends of Hamburg thing. Him and Loke came up with us.
Yep.
So Tony goes, where the fuck can I get something to eat? It's 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, I'm fucking hungry. I want to fucking eat. I'm like, all right. So we find one place in the Philadelphia area that's open. The food was the shits. And he's like, I want breakfast. I'm like, all right, you ever have Scrapple? He's like, no, what the hell is Scrapple? I'm like, all right, we're getting some Scrapple. And he's like, nothing to write home about. Yeah, it was okay. But it was funny because we took him to the hotel at 3 o'clock in the morning, picked him up 4 hours later to go to the con. Yeah, we didn't sleep that night.
Yeah, it was a hard sleep time.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that.
I mean, it was cool to hang out with them because where we were for the con was like all the ECW guys. So we had Cairo, we had Sandman, we had FBI, Snitsky was behind us, Meany was next to us.
We had Doink.
Doink, Ray Apollo was in front. And it was just cool to catch up with all these guys that I haven't seen in years. So, yeah, those cons can be the shits, but they're still
the one
fun.
In Hamburg, the one in Hamburg in July was really fun. I was there.
So were we.
Yeah, I was there, and I worked the Outbreak show that night, too.
That's why I remember you from.
Yeah.
Oh, you were the announcer.
No, I didn't do commentating for that show. I was just managing my tag.
Yeah, he was managing.
Who'd you manage? Which tag team?
Eric Tenhat and Brad DeMeo, the Diamond City War Machine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
You remember them?
Yeah, we left kind of early.
Yeah, not really early.
Day, It was a long day.
It was a long day. We were there.
When Luke and Tony said they want to leave, we leave.
We had to leave because we were there.
Yeah.
Agents, so to speak, that
But
day.
They did ask us, it's like, what do you think? I'm like, I'm hot. I don't want to be in here anymore.
No. Coincidentally, May 7th, they are going to be up in ISPW doing stuff up there for a Hall of Fame thing.
Yep.
So May 7th.
Yeah.
Check out Tony DeVito and HC Luke.
Okay, let's go to the next question.
All right.
Table of five.
So this is a mainstay question here on our podcast.
Yes, mainstay. Man, it's a lot of mains.
You're the fifth person at the table.
Yes, fifth person.
There's four other people at the table. So are we doing a theme with this one, DeVito?
Yeah, let's do announcers. Because he's an announcer.
So you're the fifth person. You pick four other announcers to be at the table with you.
All right, we're talking commentators, not ring announcers.
Commentators, yes.
Yeah, commentators.
All right. Jim Ross is a no-brainer. Can they be dead?
Yeah, can they be dead, live?
Bobby Heenan, definitely. Jerry Lawler. And I would have to, you know, people are going to laugh at this. I think Michael Cole does a great job. Mm.
Hey.
But you got Gorilla Monsoon, too. So I had to pick between those two, I guess I'd pick Gorilla, but... you know, if somebody decides not to show up, I'm going to fill the seat with Cole.
You know who was the most underrated announcer, commentator? Lance Russell.
Yeah, maybe he didn't watch it then. No, he didn't say Joey Styles either. No. I thought Joey Styles was amazing.
Right, Lance Russell, Corey Macklin, USWA, Global, those guys. And people like, who? Gordon Solie.
Yeah.
Gordon Solie. Come on, people don't know who Gordon Solie is. Come on.
You're right. Solie was great. You know, Vince McMahon was actually a really good commentator.
Right, back then. Him and Jesse Ventura, WrestleMania 3.
Oh, dude, they were all great together.
Right.
Yeah, so it's tough to just pick five, so we could probably pick 10 or 20, but...
we can keep it going. Yeah.
But it's table of five. We only can have four people at your table. That's sad. It's a sad moment.
But, I mean, the people are like, who's Corey Macklin? So Corey Macklin was the African-American gentleman that did the commentating with USWA down south, mid-south.
Okay.
It was Lance Russell and that guy?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about now?
No, you're saying that guy, yeah. I got you.
That other guy, yeah.
Right. You liked saying that guy. You know what I mean?
That guy over there.
In the beginning of our shows, he always went, "Oh, that guy." I'm like, "Which guy?" I know
that
he's a guy.
The guy over there.
See, he got the Delco Penn on Philly moments. Like that guy.
That guy.
Didn't Macklin also do AWA when it was on ESPN?
Yes, he did.
I thought so. Okay.
Yeah, you and that guy.
That guy over there.
Yeah.
That John.
Yeah, that John. Yeah.
John.
Philly talk.
Delco.
Delco too.
I mean, we are told that we have a Delco accent, but I don't hear it.
Because you don't hear it, we say water. Water.
Water.
Yeah, water.
I'm going to get a glass of water.
I'm going to get a water, yeah. You got water right behind you. Go get that water. There's the hoagie, yeah.
Get a hoagie and some
water. We don't know what a sub in a, what was the other word they say?
Let me get one whip.
How crazy we are.
I like it.
Okay,
I get it too because I grew up in Pittsburgh.
Okay, we don't like that much Pittsburgh people, but
I hate cool. everything.
I do apologize for the retirement of your football player, though.
Oh no, I'm not a Pittsburgh. I hate Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay, then we can like you then.
Okay, good. Yeah. Goddamn Pittsburgh Steelers. Fuck that.
Penguins. Ugh.
I hate them all.
Yep.
Fucking Pirates.
I think I said that to Stein Guy Dudley, and he goes, "I'm a Penguin fan." I know. That's why I said it. Pet peeve in the business. So Dave has a lot of pet peeves. My pet peeves goes to referees that don't know how to count.
Like counting at their feet?
Oh my gosh, yes. We know a referee that counts at their feet. Yeah, he didn't do that either.
Wear black pants, not jeans.
Oh gosh, I hate that. The referee started counting at the dude's feet, and I said, "Dude, that's not his shoulders." He looked at me and he cursed me out, and I was like, "You're an idiot."
Positioning for refs. I mean, I refed as a special ref before, and that shit ain't easy.
No, it isn't.
It's not. I could not. I don't think I. I mean, if I train, maybe. But I don't think I could ever be an actual full time ref.
I enjoy it. I enjoy refing. But if I have to tell you to go home and you don't go home, you're going home somehow. I will make sure of it.
Can do that. Yeah.
Right. But then the lawyer asked me, "Why did you go home?" I'm like, "Because the owner, the boss over there, said go home." Right.
So we were at a student show, and we're sitting with O-Dog, and O-Dog's told his student to run up to the referee and said, "Go home now." He goes up to the guy on the camera, and he said something to him, came back. He goes, that's not the referee.
No.
So I got up, I ran over, and I said, go home, and went back. And
yeah, you got, I mean, when you
which
got
which match was that? Was I in the ring, or was it the other guy?
It was the other guy.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Santa Claus.
I watched the spots. I made sure to go home.
Yeah. No, but the match was boring, and he wanted to go home.
Yeah, you got to do it sometimes. I've had to tell my guys to go home as a manager.
Yeah.
Because the wife has gotten sucked out of the place so bad, and I'm like, you know, go home, get to the finish, go.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, when I see that, I'm like, this match should be ending right now, and it's 20 minutes
you
later.
You feel it,
like,
right?
It's like,
you could feel it.
Yeah, it's like, dude, something's wrong. And I'm a fan and a podcaster, and, yeah. And I'm like, damn, this is going too long.
You're just a podcaster?
Yeah. Now commentator. I can put that on my fan fiction story. So do you have any pet peeves in the business?
Yeah, I got a lot of them, but one big one is I don't care if you're a wrestler, a ref, a manager, a broadcaster. I don't care what role you are as a worker. Always train. And now for a wrestler, that could be going to actual training, taking your bump. For me, I'm constantly working on promos or scripts or anything. Like, don't, just because you had a few notches under your belt, doesn't mean you stop working. And, you know, I was mentored by a lot of old school guys like Loke. So the paying your dues thing, I'm a full belief. And you know, I hate some of these young kids that are coming in and they'll show up, you know, after the ring's already put up. They'll get their window after the show and they don't help tear down. Now, I'm not saying I tear down everywhere. It depends how far out I am. But most places you're going to see me help.
But yeah, we
you know, I'm 37 years old. Like, I can't go as much as these kids can. But yet I'm there. Carrying the board still or the ring post or whatever.
We showed up to a show in Ocean County, New Jersey back in October, I think, of last year.
Yeah.
And
it was Titan Wrestling.
It was Titan. We helped take down and do a whole bunch of other things. And we were told, oh, you guys are just podcast people. You don't have to do that. I'm like, I've been reffing and doing wrestling and stuff like that for over 20 years. So anything I can do to help with the show, I'm going to. Even if it means we got to be there at 11 a.m. for a 5 o'clock show. I will help. I will do whatever to get your show over. But I'm just a podcast guy.
See, 1CW in Delaware, Sean Hardy and Sean Carlson. Dude, I go down there and help set up the ring. They let me do my podcast stuff. So I'm in the corner doing mini interviews with wrestlers that come over and sit down with me. And I have fun doing it. And
they're good dudes.
Yeah. If they never let me do that, I don't think I would have done what 142 episodes with some stuff and getting to know half of the guys. See, I did my podcast was called the Enziguri Podcast at one point. Found out nobody knows how to spell Enziguri.
Do you guys spell Enziguri?
I think there's a Z in it.
So, like, telling people it's called the Enziguri Podcast, and, like, they just didn't get it. We changed it to 10 Wrestling because we still, it's under the Enziguri Network. Nobody knows how to spell that, so it's 10 Wrestling now. And we did the whole 2300 Wrestling Podcast, me and Dave here. But before, I had Sean Carlson on, and the last thing he said on the show, he goes, I'm having a baby. We did a mini episode was it December?
Yeah.
And he had his daughter in his lap, and I was like, wow, this is the first time ever got the father and saying on the regular podcast that he's having a kid, and the kid comes on to the podcast too. And the first kid said was, doggy? It was really, really cool, and I'm so grateful for people that letting me come to shows and doing my ideas and my 2300 YouTube channel and all that stuff. I am so grateful. If they need me to do something, I am always there.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, you get out what you put in.
Yeah.
You know, it was a show a while ago. I don't remember where it was, but I do remember I was putting together the ring. It was me and actually a guest you just had on, Jay Flyer.
We had Jay on.
And a couple other vets, and it was the four of us. Not that I'm a vet, but they were. There was three vets and me. Putting the ring together, turning the turnbuckles. And I look out, and there's like four or five new kids just standing there, like, shooting shit. And I finally, like, kind of got that grumpy old person mode.
Yeah, that would have been me.
How many of you have ever actually turned a turnbuckle? And nobody raised their hand. I'm like, all right. I go, all of you get in here.
I would have been like, how many of you are green?
Like, hell yeah.
I would have been like, how many of you are green? How long have you been doing this? I'm like, all right, get the fuck over here. Let's do this. Come on, go now.
So, yeah, it's just like, you know, take initiative.
So if I go to any shows, I will try to get there early. It's all about where we're at. Because we're all near Delaware and...
I mean, half the time the shows we go to, the ring's already set up, so
yeah,
get other things done.
And that happens, and that's what it's not like you should be expected to do it all the time. Like Backbreakers, for instance, they have a whole setup with the school, and they have a list of who's doing ring crew, and they're a well-oiled machine. So I didn't touch anything about the ring last night because they all have their places, and I don't want to mess with that flow. But usually, you're going to see me set up or tear down or both. You know,
I did both. I had to tear down my computer stuff first, and then I'll come over and help. But
I get a lot of experience at Ultimate Wrestling, and that's up north towards Rochester.
Okay.
I'm a manager commentator, but I'm also the booker. So I have to get there. I'm there early. So for a 6 o'clock show, I'm there at 10 a.m. And usually there's four of us setting up the ring. And as much as that sucks, I could probably set up that ring if I had one or two other people myself.
We'll talk after the show.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, absolutely. That's good knowledge to have, because if you can go into any place, because once you know how to set up a ring, at that point, it doesn't matter the size of the ring.
Yes.
You can pretty much set up a ring. And you'd be surprised on how many people don't know the first thing. Like, if you just hand them all the pieces, they're not going to know what to do, and it's good knowledge to have.
We were at Super Crazy, and it's one of the companies I'm working for, and Denise, who is one of the owners and bookers of Super Crazy, was showing her students how to put the ringside apron on the outside. And they were sitting there intently looking, watching, and learning, which was pretty freaking awesome.
That's not easy. I mean, that's the whole over under with the string or bungee, depending on what you do, you know.
So we were showing them how to do all that.
Yeah, it's good. Always learn, man. I mean, I know we've said that 5 times, but, you know.
Right, but like I said, as much as you learn, there's always more that you can learn.
See, that's a great advice, too. You know what I mean?
Right. Like Walt Disney once said, keep moving forward.
I keep on talking to Dave Adams about commentating and keep talking to him.
And he puts you over to do it.
Yes, he does.
You know, it's like a package deal. I was joking with him about it. It's like a package deal anymore for the four of us. Usually, if him and Debbie are on the show, so are me and DB.
It's I'm humbled about it, but it's crazy when you don't know anything about the company.
No. And I mean, you get guys like Jimmy Hart, who was at working a show almost a year ago, and somebody posted a picture of him setting up and taking down chairs at the end of the show. I'm like, here's a Hall of Famer in his 60s, maybe 70s, I don't know, but still being humble and helping.
And
that's how I worked a program with him, one-on-one, him and I, back in only a few months, I want to say November, October-ish, where I actually got to go in the ring across from Jimmy Hart and do promo battle with him.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It was pretty cool, but he was so humble and gracious and just full of advice, and I mean, I got to hang out with Jimmy Hart for like 3 straight hours.
Right there, you know, that's kind of badass.
That's a guy that, you know, you learn from, and he remembered me. I saw him again at PPW at their convention, and I, you know, was walking by, and he remembered me. He's like, hey, JD, how are you? And I sat with him for another hour.
I would too if he remembers me.
Yeah, I'm like, this is, I used to, you know, I'm a huge Bret Hart fan. I'm a Mark, Bret. So I watched Jimmy Hart from the age of 6, you know, and it's surreal.
Oh my gosh, guess who else is a Mark for Bret Hart? Me!
Yeah, there you go.
Dude, remind me to send you the picture of my Bret Hart autograph book.
All right.
Oh, dude, that, it's my favorite. It's my pride, and oh my gosh, I love it. Bret Hart cried when I showed him it. He had tears in his eyes. Like, that's my life right there. And somebody like you to do that is amazing. He had a tear in his eye. I was like, oh my gosh, Bret Hart had a tear in his eye. You see him wipe it off, and I'm like, you're welcome. Like, you're like my idol. My dad's my hero, but you're my idol. You know what I mean?
It's I still not had the pleasure of meeting.
Oh my gosh, I think he's at Icons of Wrestling on March 26th.
He is, but I'm actually booked for, ironically, Hart Legacy Wrestling.
Oh.
For the same day.
Oh, that's we're booked for 1CW, so we are gonna go down to 1CW right after that.
Okay.
We want to put a table together. That's how we get ourselves over. I really don't care if I get over or not.
Elmira that day.
See, my whole thing is for this podcast, I want to get you guys over. I want to make you guys look and go, hey, look, that guy was on the 2300 Wrestling. That's all I care about. I want to get you guys over. I care about everybody. You know what I mean? Like me, I'm just second fiddle to everybody, you know.
Well, and we, you know, us as I use this term very loosely, talent, appreciate that, because we always, you know, the smart ones at least are always looking to get their name out there. together. And podcasters like you, and I won't name other ones because I don't want to, you know, but y'all do a great job. Everybody I've worked with, you know, so and we appreciate it just the same. And if people don't tell you that enough, then stop booking them.
Yeah. I see other podcasters out there. I'll put out my story right now. And they go, hey, can you share this? I share it. And then when you go, hey, can you share ours? Maybe later. How hard is it to hit the share button, dude?
Like, yeah, it's not.
Because I have the 10 Wrestling group page, I always let people post stuff. I was like, I'm tired. I'm tired that I'm helping everybody out and there's no help for me. And it hurts. But I'm not greedy like that. But I see it and I'm like, I don't know what to say. I don't want to be that person. But I want to keep my page more for me or Johnny Moran. Because Johnny Moran always says thank you to me. You know what I mean? In person.
Yeah.
We're cool. I text him all the time and talk to him. Because he's one of my favorite people to talk to. Everybody's my favorite. You know what I mean? I feel bad I don't talk to everybody. But it's so hard to, you know what I mean? There's so many wrestlers. Yeah. I love you all.
I'll share shows I'm not even booked for.
Oh, I share because, stuff too.
You know, the boys are on it or my buddies are on it or I know the promoter or they're good people. I'll just share. Like, there's a show going on today I'm not booked for, but I'm hyping it.
Oh, dude.
Up in the Buffalo area.
Okay. So, that's too far away from me right now.
Yeah. Well, like, Buffalo's even 3 hours for me, I think. 2.5.
But. Oh, gosh. I've never been up that far yet. Yeah. But I want to go up that far. I want to talk to people that are in New York, or I'm having fun. This is like fun for me, like getting people over, and I have a schedule and all that. So I'm a big fan of pranks and ribs. I am big on that stuff. I don't like the ones, the bullying pranks. I hate that stuff. Like having a little fun, like back and forth, and knowing it's fun, friendly and having fun. I do it to Dave all the time. I call him up at like 6 o'clock in the morning and tell him I'm outside, and he gets pissed off because I do it. And when I do it right, and I'm there at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, I'm here. He goes, beat the horn. I'm like, beep, beep. And he goes, oh shit, he's here. I do that stuff. And then I walk in, I'm like, I got donuts. So these are the pranks I like. And one of Dave's favorite is the orange juice prank at a bar. So I
apple juice.
Did I say orange juice?
It's orange juice.
I love orange juice. So apple juice, I'm sorry.
You gotta be the right amount of vodka though, we're good.
Oh, yeah. I'm an orange juice guy. You know what I mean? I drink orange juice straight. I don't do alcohol.
So we're out at this bar in this area that I go hang out at called...
That would help.
Right. So the bar is called Duffer's. We were out. We were hanging out. And we wanted to pull a prank on a buddy of mine. Named Rick.
Jackson.
And I looked at the bartender. I go, Taylor, you got anything that is looks
you
like...
You didn't say it. I said
DB
it.
Said it. He looks at Taylor. He goes, you got anything that looks like beer but doesn't taste like beer? He's like, I got apple juice. I'm like, all right. He's like, put apple juice
in
a beer glass. Okay. Comes back over. Rick goes out for a cigarette and comes back. And he goes to take a sip of his beer, end quote. And
something's wrong.
And he's like, something's wrong with this beer. It don't taste like beer. So I take a sip. Like,
No. He takes a sip again.
Right. He takes a sip again. He goes, don't taste like beer. I'm like, what do you mean?
And then you take a sip.
It doesn't taste like beer to me.
He's fucking up the story big time.
And then you tell the fucking story.
Noticed that the other bartender started going, laughing because she noticed that we were pranking him. And he goes, what is this? I'm like, it's apple juice, dude. And like, he goes, it doesn't taste like apple juice. I was like, what does it taste like? He goes, I don't know. I'm like, okay. And I asked the bartender, can you give me a shot of apple juice? He's like, gives me a shot. And I'm like, I was like, dude, it's apple juice. He goes, oh, I never had apple juice before. And I'm like, yeah, it was weird. And like that whole night, because his last name is Jackson. So we were playing trivia. So I asked the guy to do the trivia, changed his team name Slayer to God to Apple Jacks. So the whole night we called him Apple Jacks. And
funny.
So like right there, what was it to say? Right there, he hated it. He hated that whole thing. I still call him Apple Jacks or tell the story. And he's like, So do you have any ribs and prank stories that you can say? And if you don't want to name anybody, you can say create a character number 47. Whatever number you want to name.
Wait, is that in your rule book too?
Yes. So there's been a few good ones. One of my favorites, just because it was the kid's reaction. He was pretty green. This was a little over a year ago. During the pandemic, we were doing TV taping still because we couldn't have a crowd.
Yeah.
And this was up at Ultimate Wrestling. And, you know, a lot of people were staying away from the locker room. So we maybe had 15 people in the locker room. And we needed to drop the hardcore title. But we had no one to drop it to. So we just put this kid up against the champion. And it's a tables match. So what we decided to do is not tell him he was going to go over. So basically, we set it up to where the table was in the corner, and then he was supposed to, he was up against the table, and he was supposed to get speared through the table. So his opponent, mind you, this kid's only been in the business 3 months, I think. And, you know, putting a belt on a kid like that's very rare. So anyway,
unless you're that good.
He's leaning up against the table. The champion goes in for the spear at the last minute because the champion was so much bigger.
Yeah.
He pushes the kid out of the way and goes through the table himself. And then all of a sudden, the kid's getting handed the title, and he thought it was fake. He was trying to get the title back to the referee, and we're like, no, dude, you won it. And it was pretty freaking hilarious.
Oh, my gosh, that's so great.
I mean, it was fun to watch. So that was more of a good prank. I got pranked on a couple months ago by one of my guys. He legitimately was selling so well, he made me believe he actually broke his knee.
Ooh.
And so he was like, go get Doc. And I'm freaking out because I've been witnessing some bad injuries. And I walk like back to get Doc. Doc comes out and everybody else is gone. I'm like in defeat out in the ring. I go to the back, and this is at PPW. So you got guys like Casey Navarro, Davey Richard. They're all back there, and apparently they were all in on this, or they were told about it. I come back and the entire locker room is laughing at me with the doctor because they had me freaking out so bad. I'm like, you're all a bunch of assholes right now. I just walked away. So I'm an easy mark when it comes to that stuff.
Oh gosh, that is funny. That is really funny. I like that. I like.
Yeah.
I like.
I like the guys at PPW.
Yeah, great guys.
Yeah.
We did yeah. a thing with them at Icons. It was fun.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah. Encore played Hot Potato with us.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I do commentary for, if I'm not managing, I'm commentary at PPW. That's one of my favorite places.
Okay.
I would love to get on PPW.
Yeah, it's fun. It's not easy, but once you're on and they like you, you're good.
Yeah, so we do this new thing called Three Matches. So we want to find out what three matches that your all-time favorite matches of all time. And then we want you to give me three matches that you called that you enjoyed calling.
All right. So three best matches. Now we're talking indies, WWE, whatever, right?
Whatever you want to do. And then three that you were involved in.
Yeah.
Okay. One of them is actually going to be, I'm going to name one on both lists. But so my favorite match of all time, and we just talked about this, was the Iron Man match, WrestleMania 12.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
Brett and Shawn. I just, no match will ever be that good in my mind. I thought it was great. Lesnar and Angle, and I can't remember which WrestleMania it was, one of you guys probably know, where Lesnar almost broke his neck.
Yeah, that's the one where Lesnar got the concussion. That was New Jersey?
I'm trying to think of the date. This is why we don't have our crew here. This is a mess.
Yeah, it was WrestleMania. I know. I think it was 22.
I think it was around there. I wish I had my phone going, oh, we know which one it is, but
19.
19? Yeah, WrestleMania 19.
Okay, 19. Yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah. So that would be that. And then on the indie level, it happened just a few months ago, was a 30-minute Iron Man match between Casey Navarro and Davey Richards.
Ooh.
And I got to call that match, too.
Oh, that's awesome. So I like Davey Richards.
My boy Vinny just worked him the other night.
Oh, nice.
Vinny Pacifico.
Yeah, the storytelling they did in that match was just incredible.
Yes.
You know, without a doubt. As far as two others that I've been involved with, of course, I'm drawing a blank. I would say there was Facade, another PPW match I got to call. It was, I believe, Facade and Bro Keller, the champion.
Okay.
That was a hell of a match. And to make it even more, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen Facade's work, but he's a high flyer. You know, this is a guy that'll go literally on the rafters above the ring, hang off, and do a moonsault down.
Oh, shit.
He already had a really busted up MCL. It was already torn, but he was already booked, and he was going into surgery the next couple months. And he still did those crazy spots on a bum knee, and you couldn't tell at all. And they just put on a hell of a match, like absolutely hell of a match.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then I would say probably as a manager, I was involved. My first main event was my four guys against Offa Jr., Mike Orlando, and numbers 5 and 10 from the Dark Order.
Okay.
And that was just a cool experience to just be involved and get bumped by those guys. It was just awesome.
That is really cool.
Yeah, Five Alex?
What's that?
Five is Alex, isn't it? No.
I think it is.
Yeah, and 10 is, I know who 10 is.
10 is, yeah.
But those guys, too, are just great guys. So there's your 3 and 3, I guess.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you on that one. Okay, Dave loves this question. Because he thinks, you want to say it? How we got there?
See, here's my problem with wrestling lately, is I want to know why Why are you doing a thumbtack match? Why are you doing a ladder match? Why? How did you get to that conclusion that you're going to do that match? Why? I want a lead up. There, to me, there is no lead up anymore. It's automatically, like, we went to a show last weekend, and it was Saturday night, and the main event was a barbed wire match. No barbed wire match for a title. Why? That's my thing. Why are we doing this match? Just to do the match with the helmet? There's no lead up. There's no storyline. There's no, like, you're just doing a tables, ladders, and chairs match for the helmet. I want to know why. I really feel there's no storyline. There's no build up. There's no anything anymore. Would you agree with that?
I think in some places, absolutely. A place or two I work, there is usually never a story. There might be one or two, but outside of that, they put matches together. They put on banger matches, but not much leading up to it.
Yeah.
I know, you know, when I'm doing booking, unless it's for the hardcore championship, like it's just a random championship match, then you can do something like that. But like, you know, we just did a ladder match for the championship back in December, but we had like a 6-month build to that.
Right. You had a lead into it.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, if I'm involved in the booking, you know, I'm going to make sure there's a story for crazy stuff. Now, some people, it also depends on the person's gimmick. Like, you know, Mick Foley could go out and have a match with whoever and throw thumbtacks and no one's going to question because
it's Mick Foley.
It's freaking Mick Foley, right?
Right.
Like, so if it's in their gimmick, that's a little different. But yeah, you know, somebody when I first started working in the business said, half the time, I don't care if the match is shit. If you told a story and the crowd got over, you did your job. That's all I want. Storytelling is, that's all wrestling's been based around since the beginning.
Right.
You know, and that's great. We got, you know, the athleticism of wrestling is the best it's ever been, and we want to put a highlight on that, but it means, to me, it means nothing if there's no story behind it.
Correct.
You know, like that Davey Richards, Casey Navarro, they didn't just come out and have a 30-minute Iron Man match. They had a whole program for 4 or 5 months, and they were trading wins back and forth. So it's like, all right, we got to know who can outlast the other. You know, there was a reason. You know, if you're going to have a gimmick match, you got to have a reason for it. I think in 95.
How did we get there?
Yeah, exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I love this question because a lot of people, like, we were talking to, we're not going to name the company, but because we work there.
I already mentioned it, so.
A name like Necro Butcher is coming back. And I told him, I told him, you don't want to put him on the next show. You want to put on your super show, but you want him to show up at the end of the main event. Give us the holy shit factor.
Yeah.
And I was like, do not promote him being there. Why won't we promote him? Because we wanted to make it a surprise. For deathmatch people, if you plant people with video cameras recording this and then post it up on
kind of like the old ECW fan cam.
Social media. Boom. You know how crazy? Because Necro just got done beating cancer.
Right.
And people are going, holy shit, Necro's back.
He fought the biggest deathmatch of his life.
Yeah, and out from nowhere, boom. Why not do this storyline? And they go, nah, we're going to do it the other way. And I'm like, then don't ask me for ideas.
It's not going to get
over. I have a lot of crazy ideas. Dave knows. And I handed it over to the IWA Vintage. I was like, here's some of my good ideas. So I rant too much. I'm sorry.
No, you're right, though. Now, I will say from a booking perspective, one hard part people don't realize about booking, and that's why I give some promoters some flack, is because I cannot tell you how many messages a day I have of people's ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. And some make sense, some don't. At the end of the day, you just finally are like, I can't give everybody what they want.
Oh, yeah.
But you always want to maintain a story and, you know, the hype and the promotion, that's all obviously very important. You know, but when you're working with names too, you don't know how much of the decision was made by the name.
True.
You know, for all you know, and I don't know the situation or what happened. Necro the Butcher, if he says, no, this is what I want to do, or you can't use me, guess what? That's what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really, there's no one great answer. It's a case by case scenario.
Oh, yeah.
But whenever you can promote the right way and build, yeah, you always want to build. I mean, you have to.
And the one guy, the Money Mark, I'm going to say Money Mark, he goes, oh, that's not how I want to put my money into. I'm like, okay, don't ask me to give you ideas.
Right.
Like, the ideas are there. We got plenty of them. Just the right company to bring them to.
And the crazy thing is, if I had money, I think I will put on a wrestling show and I will do storylines. I want people to enjoy wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, booking and running a show, it is fun. It's stressful, but it's fun because you get to kind of be like puppet master. You know, but what's funny about it is, like, and I hate to admit this, very rarely do I ask anybody's opinion, except for me and the owner and maybe one other guy. Yeah. And it's amazing how many people just feel they got to share their opinion with, like, I don't care what you think. Like, I didn't ask you, you know? You know, and they're like, well, I don't want my character used this way. I'm like, well, then we can just not use your character, you know? And they shut up when you say that, but, you know, it's one of those things. But you're right. If somebody, one thing, you just mentioned it too, that aggravates me is if somebody does ask my opinion and I give it and it's just like, nah, that's stupid. I'm like, well, why'd you ask? I mean, at least give it some thought. I mean, you don't have to go with it if you ask, but at least think more than 4 seconds about it.
Yeah, I thought like making a surprise because you got a super show coming up in August. Why not use that? You know what I mean? You can use everybody else put around that.
And no, I agree.
The build up.
Yes, I like the build up. When you're commentating, do you like to be surprised or do you want to know what's going to happen?
I want to know, I don't, about who's, like, who's going to win, lose, that's whatever to me. I like surprises, like people just showing up because you can get my natural reaction.
Yes.
The biggest thing I need to know, though, is how to put over, what's the end game for this story for tonight, and I want to be able to put that over, you know, or, you know, if this person is, like, doing a turn from face to heel, I commentate that differently than if they're staying face or staying. So I need to know a little bit so I can put them over, because as a commentator, just like you guys were saying you put over us as a commentator, my job is not to put me over, my job is to put the talent over.
Correct.
And so I need to know some direction of where they're going so I make it sound right, because I don't know if you've ever watched a wrestling show on TV without commentary, but it's awful. I don't care how good the wrestling is.
Do you remember when Jerry Lawler had a heart attack?
Yeah.
And they kept on going the show. Dude, I was worried about Jerry the whole time and I didn't know what to do. I'm like, do I still watch this?
Kind of like when Owen fell, it got quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like commentary is such a huge factor of any show, but I think it's underappreciated. But I'll tell you, you take commentary away from a show, you almost don't want to watch it, right? Like,
yeah.
So you gotta, so I guess my point is I need to know a little bit so I can put people over the right way. And it's on me, it's on commentary to tell the story too, you know? And that's why I'm passionate about all of wrestling, but because I've been doing commentating since I was 17, 18 years old, I'm so, you know how those grizzled vets get angry about people not respecting wrestling?
Yeah.
I get angry when people don't respect commentary, you know, because I feel like I have enough experience, I can be kind of a jerk at that point. You know, commentary, it's such an important aspect that people don't always think of.
Yeah, I gotcha. I had to pick your brain a little bit more in the future because, hey, why not? Right?
Why not?
Two more questions. I'm going to do the geek out moment and then I want to end it with the 5 questions of doom.
All right.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Here he goes. He's laughing again. Okay. Geek out moment. I am a big fan of being a geek, a mark, all that fun stuff in the world. Have you had a geek out moment, like when you walk in the locker room? You don't have to, like, make a look at it and you're like...
I've had a lot of them. I don't really mark out.
But
I'm
it's
not
okay.
That guy, but, like, it doesn't mean I don't internally. I have to go back to the Jimmy Hart.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I've been in a locker room with a lot of famous guys.
Yeah.
But when you get to work one-on-one with an idol of yours, that's a moment you don't ever forget, you know? And at the end of the night, he ended up hitting me with his megaphone. Like, I mean, come on, you know? Like, it doesn't get better than that.
No.
That's
pretty cool.
For me. Yeah, for me, that was probably my most favorite.
Oh, my gosh, that is
cool. One of mine in-ring favorite moments was I got the referee with Gangrel, and a guy, God rest his soul, a guy, his name was Z-Bar.
Yes, Z-Bar. Yes.
Yeah, I got to ref with him. He was a great guy.
Yeah, those are just, it's cool moments. I'm fortunate and I'm blessed that I get to do that. I remember another cool one real quick was I was doing a double shot day.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
And Jillian Hall was also booked for both shows.
Oh, nice.
So somebody had to get Jillian Hall from point A to point B, and it was me.
Nice.
So I got to, you know, shoot the shit with Jillian Hall for an hour and a half, and I'll tell you what, we barely talked roughly.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we did that with Crazy Steve.
Yes, Crazy Steve was fun.
He was cool.
A friend of ours, he's bringing him in. He's like, yo, are you doing anything right now? Can you go over to the airport and pick up Crazy Steve for me? I'm like, yeah, sure. He's like, be right back, guys. And Ren did it.
Yeah, it's cool to be there.
In that moment, while we were out grabbing Steve, my son walks up because he was watching the table while we were going to get Crazy Steve and goes, Billy Gunn just ribbed on me. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I'm sitting here playing on my phone, and Billy Gunn goes, are you just going to sit there and take up space the whole time? Without fail, my son looks up at him and goes, yep. So that was funny.
It's the fun little thing. And
yeah, oh yeah, and the last con, I walked up to Billy and I said, hey, I remember you. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, we were here last time and you asked my son if he was taking up space. He's like, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. It's cool when they remember you, right?
You're right. Well, James Storm remembered us too.
Yeah, James Storm.
And it true Southern gentleman.
Yeah.
To a T. He's just really awesome to talk to.
You know,
and to share a beer with.
You know who else remembered us?
Who?
Mike Keener. It's amazing.
Can't imagine why.
Oh, yeah.
No, not one bit. Are you ready?
No, hold on a minute. I want to tell you those. Story.
Oh, God.
It's not a markout moment, but it was a funny story. Plumini running into him in Delaware.
Oh, in Delaware? I thought you were talking about cheap pop and catering.
Oh, no. It was kind of funny because, like, this is, like, before, like everything got canceled, and I was going to Michael's to look for sheets for my autographs. I like to collect. So I put
not the market. Not that sheets.
No. Put the photos in. So I was looking for them. Michael's don't have them. So I looked up, and I noticed a lady looks like Blumini's girlfriend, Tracy. Yeah. And, like, Alfred, and I didn't say anything because I was like, nah, why would they be down here in
That's
Delaware?
It's a bit of a ride.
Yeah, it's a.
They live right off of South Street.
Yeah, it's like a 20-30 minute ride. Right. You know what I mean? I was like, nah, they're not going to come all the way down here to go shopping. Who does that? You know what I mean?
Right.
So I wasn't paying attention. She walked out of the store. I walked out. I was going to go to Target to see if they have them. They don't have it. But I did pick up some drinks and a movie and all that stuff on my way out.
Do you remember what movie?
I don't remember what movie. Why would I remember the movie?
I don't know. You have a library.
I do have a library. No, I only remember when people buy me movies and what movies they bought me. It's a weird thing. And so I see Blue Meanie and Tracy in the store, and I'm like, man, now I feel like a mark, and I'm like, I'm not following them around. I just live here. And I'm like, I'm trying to, like, not make it look like I'm a fan, and I told the story to somebody. Somebody told them the story. When everything started to open up again, Icons came back, and I went...
Hamburg.
Was it Hamburg?
It was Hamburg.
Okay, Hamburg. Went over to them, told them the story, and then they go, oh, that was you? I was like, yeah. And Meanie's like, dude, I know who you are. Just come over and say hello. And I'm like, oh, okay. Didn't know I could do that.
Nice.
I was going to a concert in Philly. I was going to see a band play, and him and Tracy are up at the Starbucks on the second floor. And I'm like, yeah, I saw you on South Street last night, and then I was going to say hi, but it didn't seem like a mark. He goes, dude, how long have I known you? You're not a mark. Come say hi. Get a hug. I mean, you're like family. You're not a mark. You're not a fan. I'm like, yeah, you're right. So now every single time I go to a con, I go say hi to him. And it was funny because we the first Icons we did, he literally moved people out of the way to say hi
to you. But that's the thing. I didn't want to bother people when I see them outside of their life of wrestling. So you don't want to be like that person going, hey, how you doing? I just, if you're out eating, I'm not going to come up to you and bother you.
Right. No, like that night at Oregon Niner.
Yeah. I did the same thing with Davey Richards and the Young Bucks. I'm like, hey, hi guys. And that was it.
So we went to a House Hardcore show one night, and we were with a bunch of friends, and Bubba and his wife were sitting there, and they were eating.
I think it's girlfriend.
Girlfriend at the time. And my friends were like, hey, let's go say hi. I'm like, no. Like, it's 2:00 in the morning. He's eating dinner, and then he's going back to the hotel and going to bed. Don't be like that. Go to the table.
It wasn't me.
No, it wasn't him. It wasn't me. It wasn't my son. It was somebody else who was with us.
Yeah, it's mostly the marks that hang out with us.
Yeah.
There's a time and place, you know?
Like, yeah.
Right. That's like going to see the New Day at Denny's at 3:00 in the morning, where it just happened.
Oh, really?
That Denny's over here.
Oh, you ran into him?
Yeah.
And did you go New Day Rock?
No.
Okay, are you ready?
Out and said hi.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The hell?
You didn't hear that? Did you hear it yet?
It's now time for the five questions of doom.
So we have five non-wrestling questions.
Non-wrestling questions.
In this little tub that I still need to add more to it. And I open up the box. It's like, oh, play around.
Moving things around.
Well, oh, we're spinning everything around. I need to get one of them things and just...
Like a bingo roller?
Yeah, it should be kind of cool. Yeah, I mean, what do you think?
I dig it. I like it. I'm ready.
They spelled the person's name wrong on this paper. You fucked up? Or are you gonna say?
Yeah, I was gonna say you fucked up, champ.
Question number one:
Wilma or Betty Rubble?
Betty.
How do they spell Betty?
They spell Betty B-E-T-T-Y-E.
What?
Yeah.
Fucking George.
No.
Yeah, I think that is George handwriting. I think you spell Wilma wrong.
I don't get into redheads. So.
Question number two.
Heathcliff or Garfield?
Heathcliff or Garfield?
It has to be Garfield, right?
Yeah, Garfield. Yeah. I'm a big Odie fan.
No. I'm a big Zombieland fan, and I love the part where they go into Bill Murray and they shoot Bill Murray, and she asks him any regrets. He goes, "Well, Garfield, maybe."
Question number three.
Bruce Wayne or Tony Stark?
Bruce Wayne or Tony Stark?
That's not even a question. Bruce Wayne, Tony Stark's a prick.
I am a big Bruce Wayne fan.
Question number four.
Wow. Dude, I was ready to ask him a question.
Okay, well, ask him a question.
And you just jumped to the next thing. I wasn't over here to do this.
Ask the question.
What's your favorite Bruce Wayne?
Michael Keaton by default.
Okay, yeah, okay.
You know, but I also, and everybody disagrees with me on this, I like Val Kilmer.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like the Val Kilmer, but where's George Clooney in this thing?
At the end of the last. Whole line.
Huh?
Last.
I mean, I don't know, I kind of want to go see the Batman just to see.
I hope he doesn't sparkle.
You know? But, I mean, it also goes back to Adam West.
Well, right.
But Adam West was the first TV... Dude, they did it because of kids out there.
Yeah.
They didn't do it and make it like...
But, I mean, Adam West also passed away doing what he does and what he loves to do.
Yeah. Being the mayor on...
Being the mayor of Quahog.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Mayor Adam West.
Yep.
Mayor West. I love Mayor West. Ready for question number four?
Yeah.
I mean, I could do the Quahog voice, but...
Please don't do that. Go ahead, say...
Huh?
Go ahead.
Question number... Number four.
That's one crazy son of a bitch right there.
You are not the final answer.
Bugs Bunny or Mickey Mouse? Here's the first before you answer this. Do you know the only movie they both were in?
I think they were both in Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
That is correct.
And their only rule was they both had to have the same number of lines.
A lot of lines, yes.
Yeah.
It
was the only Warner Brothers Disney movie to date.
Yes.
So, as far as my pick goes, Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Question number five.
Your dog's like, don't pick that one.
Not the gum drop button.
Because this is like a pet one. Astro or Dino?
Astro or Dino.
I like Dino.
Dino.
I mean, who wouldn't want a pet freaking dinosaur?
Yeah, dude, you know? I'm a big Jurassic Park fan, so... Yeah.
Yeah, for his birthday, I found the egg for Jurassic Park. Nice. I found the egg with the mosquito in it.
So
that was... And I also found Tobin's spirit guide.
Yeah, he knows how geeky I am. I'm a big giant geek.
Yes. It actually said Tobin's spirit guide on the front and everything else. It was a really cool book.
Yeah, it's sitting in my my little room.
So you know what we should do? If we go to Monster Mania in March, you should bring that book.
Well, who's going to be there?
Ernie Hudson.
I don't want to sign that. I want someone else sign. I should get his Winston toy.
Oh, crap. I got to... Shit. All right. But anyway, moving right along.
Oh, and that was the...
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the five questions.
Doesn't...
I got to stop smoking.
You don't smoke.
That's the point.
So that was that show, and we're...
No more questions. No, I'm kidding.
So, you got any social media for the crazy fans out there to follow you?
Crazy fuckers.
Tips for, in terms of what?
If you want them to follow you on social media.
Instagram, Spotify.
I'm an idiot.
Don't do that.
I'm on Facebook. I got a fan page, JD Joe Davis. Instagram is Joe Davis 2484. I'm on Twitter. Same thing. I think it's Joe Davis 2484. And also, I got a website, www.imwithdavis.com. I'm not hard to find. I'm on Facebook more than anything.
Yeah.
So that's usually your best bet to get a hold of me. But. So lots of ways, and I'm booked just about every weekend somewhere, so come see me at a show for sure.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
That is really cool. We always like to say this to everybody that comes on to our show. When you come on to 2300 Wrestling, you become part of our family. So welcome to our family, and I really do mean it.
Glad to be here. It's fun. It's a good time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you want to end the button? You want me to hit the button, or are you going to, like, go, don't hit the button,
not like, the gumdrop. Button.
You want me to hit the gumdrop button?
Hit the button.
You want me to hit the button?
Button.
Are you sure?
No. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
That was you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. This has been the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I'm Dave Keener alongside DB Richards, and we'll see you in the ring. And we would like to thank our guest, JD Davis, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
JD Joe Davis here, and I'm the best commentator, the best manager in professional wrestling. But you want to hear who the best podcast is in professional wrestling? It's the 2300 Podcast. Nobody is going to ask the questions like these two dudes do, and I promise you, you'll be entertained from start to finish. If you don't tune in, I will find you and make sure you never hear anything else about wrestling again.
Sam Alfalzi here.
And Zach Ravix.
Super Crazy Wrestling, Super Crazy Arena, Skid Row Academy. We are indeed the best facility in New Jersey. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, probably in the world. Extremely top three, I would say. We have very terrific trainers. Actually, they all come from the Ring of Honor Dojo, so you already know you're...
So they're going to be great, and they're definitely great.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You're going to experience some, you know, pretty elite stuff. You know, we're all about intensity here, you know. We're always here to help. We're always reach one, teach one. That's our main thing. You know, I feel like if you're a person that really feels like wrestling is your dream and that's what you want to accomplish, this is the best school to come to.
Or burn.
Okay.
What Brack said.
So, once again, you know, best school probably in the world. Definitely in Jersey. You can find it. You can find it on Facebook, Super Crazy Wrestling and Skid Row Academy. And Instagram, Super Crazy Wrestling, Skid Row Academy. You can contact Melissa Pena or O-Dog. And he'll come find you if you don't find him.
Or I will.
Or
Brax will.
Or Brax.
You'll burn.
No, you won't burn.